Okay, now it gives me great pleasure to introduce our 10-minute speaker. We've got Mike T. from Oceana. Let's give him a big welcome.
You realize I want to touch the microphone now.
I know.
Don't tell me not to do something. First of all, I want to say welcome to the two guys that identified as newcomers and anybody else who feels new. You know, when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I wanted everybody to leave me alone. And that's what I thought peace was. So my wish for you is that you find your peace. My peace has changed dramatically since I got sober. And I hope that happens for you too. Now, a lot of you in this room I've known for a long time, but actually the person in this room that I've known the longest is my friend Jeff over here. We met in 1978 in the engine room of a submarine. He had arrived on the submarine that I was on, and I had just gotten out of a two-week drying out course that the Navy had experimentally done with me. Well, you know, they'd spent a lot of time training me to play with their nuclear reactors, and it cost them a lot of money, so they thought, hey, we could spend 2 weeks drying them out, and they did, and that's when I met Jeff. What they taught me was that, A, that I was an alcoholic, and they tried to introduce me to Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, what I have to admit is that Alcoholics Anonymous seemed extreme to me. You know, like, never drink again. And, you know, live a positive spiritual life. So when I left the submarine, I did not take Alcoholics Anonymous with me. And a number of years later, I didn't drink. But I did not live that positive spiritual life. And so about 8 years later, I'm going to Cal Poly. I was a little unhappy. Oh, my girlfriend left me or something. Or I broke a shoelace, got a C on a test. Something major, right? So I went and got a quart of rum and a can of Dr. Pepper. I did not need all the Dr. Pepper. But I finished off the rum. So years later, you know, I don't like to use the phrase drinking career because that sounds positive somehow. We'll call them escapades. So what kind of happened for me is I started going downhill, but it wasn't this straight downhill motion that I did. It was this ratchet thing. I would go along for a little bit and then boom, and then go along for a little bit, boom, and I would just ratchet down and down and down. That wasn't really good. So I found myself married with my best friend. And this friend, though, was getting tired of this. She still liked me. I knew she still liked me because she was giving me gifts. She gave me a sleeping bag, a jacket, some really nice, warm, thick socks. I still had a job, but let's put it this way. I worked at a place where it was really difficult to fire you. It took a lot of paperwork and all that kind of stuff. I've never asked how far along in that paperwork they got, because I don't really want to know. But they were doing the paperwork. There were all kinds of meetings about me, and I was being counseled. So what I was doing was, since I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous, and I knew I didn't want to do that, I tried all kinds of other things. And I was looking at this or, you know, thought, oh, I could go and do this treatment center until, you know, my wife realized it cost $15,000. And so $20,000 worth of booze later. yeah, all kinds of weird things happened. So I decided I was going to quit. I was going to quit on the 1st of January. And, well, then, you know, that kind of slid on by, right? And then I was going to be, okay, Valentine's Day. That sounds like a good day to quit drinking. How about the Ides of March? Yeah, the Ides of March. Then I thought, you know, it's April 1st. Hey! So anyway, I started going to some meetings. And I'll finish this part of the story in a minute, maybe. So I started going to meetings, and I was drinking between meetings, but I was going to some meetings, and I kept hearing the same thing. Go to meetings, don't drink between meetings, get a sponsor, work the steps. They probably said other stuff to me too, but I don't remember what they, you know. Because when you're going to meetings and drinking between meetings, those four things are about as much as I was going to remember. So I finally went, okay, God, I gotta just stop. So I went up to this guy, and he was I thought he was taller than me. Turns out he's not. But I thought he was a bigger smart ass than I am. I still think he is. And I was pretty sure he was more intelligent than me because he had the word doctor in front of him, his name. So I said, okay, all right. I walked up to him and I said, I need somebody to be my mentor. And he laughed at me. He goes, what is that? Is that a sponsor who can't tell you what to do? So I sort of gave up then. So we got out at 12 and 12, and he said, we're going to read step one out loud to each other. And I'm going, wait a second, we're both men of science. Why are we doing this? Now, okay, I told you, he had doctor in front of his name. I was a dropout engineering student. I was not a man of science. But I thought I was. And he said, I don't know. It's what my sponsor did with me, and it seemed to work. Again, I had no answer for that, you know. And that's when I gave up. And so and that was on April 24th, 1997. And that is, apparently is the day that picked me instead of me picking my sobriety date. Now, I'd love to tell you that, oh, after that, we worked the steps and nothing bad has ever happened. Yeah. Well, first of all, I probably balked a little bit on step four. Because, you see, I thought I was different. And I thought it was unique because, you know, I'm an ex-submarine sailor. I'm a man of science. I was full of shit. That's what I really was. And then Jeff walks back into my life. Jeff shows up and we see each other in a meeting, and we both looked at each other and go, God damn, you look familiar. And so we did this at several meetings, and we were going, man, you know, we tried to. And so one day I had a dream about Jeff. So I got up, took Maalox, and I walked up to him the next time I saw him, and I said, Jeff, you were that damn electrician chief. He goes, oh, you were that fucking reactor operator. He taught me that I was not unique in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, there's somebody here that can relate to whatever you think is wrong. There's always somebody. And none of us are disposable or indispensable. We're all disposable. None of us are indispensable. You know, we're all just childs of God trying to move forward. I'm almost going to make 10 minutes. You know, most of my friends told me I couldn't make 10 minutes. And I said, I'm here to prove you right. But I think I'm going to be on time. Anyway, so as far as what's happening to my life now, I'm in escrow in two different homes. I'm moving from the area. I'm really sad to say this, but I'm going to run into a whole bunch of new friends that are going to be just like you. There's going to be another Jeff up there. There's going to be another Bill. There's going to be another, well, there won't be another Madeline. But there's going to be there. And the way I'm telling people is, all you're doing is trading me for an alcoholic to be named later. You'll find some other guy that's just like me, another smart ass, and you'll go, he's much, much funnier than Mike was. And that's great, you know, but I love this area, and I'm really glad that I'm an alcoholic, and I'm really glad I'm sober today. Thanks.
let's give Mike one more round of applause.